Today on Real Life Radio.
Right now at this time, a lot of Christians are panicking. Why? Because they watch this. Listen, for every hour they watch the news, they probably read the Bible 1 minute. You ought to flip that narrative around in your own life. You ought to read the Bible for an hour and then turn on the news to see what the temperature is going to be tomorrow outside.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called The Why Series with a message called The Holy Spirit in the Life of the Believer, Part 7. If we want the Holy Spirit to lead our lives, it's a conscious choice we need to make each and every day. What does that look like in the life of the believer? It's when we watch, listen, and pray for the Holy Spirit to guide us toward God's purpose for our lives. You see, unlike ourselves, God never gives up on us. He always finishes what He starts in our lives. No matter how much emotional stress we find ourselves underneath, or how useless we feel, we really can fight against it through the power of the Holy Spirit. The world is anxious, but you know, the follower of Jesus Christ doesn't have to be. We've been attacked from within during this pandemic, but the Holy Spirit can refresh our souls and lift our spirits. So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack tells us that depression is now a widespread condition. Even the person who follows Jesus Christ can get depressed. But you know, we can calm those anxious thoughts by tuning out mainstream news, angry conversations, and social media outlets. God has already promised that He will take care of us in this life and in the next. And now in His message called The Holy Spirit in the Life of the Believer, Part 7, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Going through the Why series, and we are talking about the person of the Holy Spirit. And it is very necessary tonight that we cover the ground that we need to cover this evening because of the fact that the Holy Spirit is the one who at this time is doing a work in your life as a believer, and He's going to keep doing that work that He has started. He will not stop no matter what you feel or think. He's not going to give up on you. He's not going to quit. And He's going to finish that work because the Holy Spirit, can I put it to you this way? The Holy Spirit is under contract, as it were, with God the Father and God the Son. So in a sense, allow me to put it this way. It's kind of clumsy, but play along with me. The Father sent the Son to this world to be born and to live and to experience everything you and I experience. In fact, the Bible says Jesus experienced more of the pressures of this life. And the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ then, having been resurrected from the dead, ascended back to heaven. And the proof positive fact that Jesus Christ ascended back to heaven was the giving of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. Now, at the time of this message, me speaking to you right now, we've recently come out of Resurrection Sunday, Easter, and we're heading toward Pentecost Sunday, May 31st. Why is May 31st this year important in the year 2020? Because it's the Sunday of Pentecost. And what is that? It's the descent of the Holy Spirit giving birth to the church. 2,000 years ago, the church was born by the power of the Holy Spirit. And the Father is in heaven. Jesus ascended back to heaven. The Holy Spirit came down, and He's been here ever since, living and breathing and teaching and ministering in the lives of the believers, the things of God. Jesus said, everything that I've taught you and more, He will give you when He comes. And it's the Holy Spirit's job to be working in you and I right now and be preparing us that when the Lord comes, listen, in one of two ways. If you die tonight having accepted Christ, the Holy Spirit ushers you into the presence of heaven and of Jesus at your death. In a sense, His work is done in your life. But if the rapture happens, which I pray happens now, any day now, any moment now, That is, when the Lord comes for his church, the Bible makes it very clear, Christ only comes down as far as what is, we would could say, the high atmosphere. We don't exactly know exactly where that is, but it's somewhere above our atmosphere, probably, quite possibly, in the heavens, where maybe our atmosphere meets space. What is that? I forget. 126 miles? I don't remember. I'm an old guy. But it's where our atmosphere goes into the space realm, celestial realm. The Bible says Christ will appear. And the scripture says that with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God and a shout, the dead will rise first, and then we who are alive at that moment will be caught up to meet them in the air. And the Bible says we will forever be with the Lord from that moment on. He takes us back to the fulfillment of John 14, verses 1, 2, and 3, where it says there he's been preparing a place for us to dwell. It's called the rapture of the church. At that moment that the rapture takes place, the Holy Spirit's job in your life is done. And his job, listen, is done regarding the church. From that moment on, everyone who comes to Christ after that on earth, they are known as tribulation saints. They're not members of the church. It's very powerful that you know that. And so tonight, we're going to be talking about the issues that are coming upon us and how the Holy Spirit relates to us. So allow me to be somewhat methodical, if you would, because we're going to be talking about depression, sadness, sorrow. How do I handle that at this time? Listen, no matter what your belief system is, you've got to agree with me that man possesses an immaterial part. Okay, even atheists believe this. See, what do you mean immaterial part? Well, this is our material part. This is our material part. I have clothes on my material part. I do not have these clothes on my immaterial part. And in fact, the body is just a small aspect of our person. I know we focus so much on the body, and that's wrong. We leave the spirit and the soul and the mind, we neglect it, and we just do everything about the body. But this body is simply low on the totem pole, and it's only a vehicle. It's a tool by which we live out our lives. But there's this immaterial part of who we are. The Bible tells us that one of the immaterial parts is man's consciousness, man's self-awareness. That man can think, man can plan, man can author a poem, man can write a song, he can sing it. We are unique then from the angels and from the animal kingdom. And so we should be. The Bible's clear. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, the Bible teaches us that then God said, let us make man in our image. That word is moral likeness. According to our own likeness, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over every thing on the earth and every creeping thing that's on the earth. God said, man's to have dominion over that. Genesis 1, 26. But listen, in 1 Thessalonians 5, 23, the Bible tells us, now may the God of all peace himself, listen, sanctify you completely. Listen up. And may your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the work of the Holy Spirit, body, soul, spirit. You are what is known as a trichotomy. You have an awareness, a self-consciousness, and God made you that way. Now, granted, you and I live in a fallen world now. This world's messed up. Would you agree? Somebody say amen to that. This world's messed up. This is not what God made. We made this mess. This is what we did by rejecting God. We're living with the consequences right now. God didn't make it this way. We took it this way and crashed it. And now he says to us that it's God's will that you be sanctified, that is set apart for God in your body, in your soul, and in your spirit. Remarkable. Bible says that. So we want to challenge the Bible and ask if that's true. It's a good question. The more we have a chance, by the way, to examine and to analyze what has been going on in our world around us in this recent crisis, we have been attacked, I'll put it subtly and yet abruptly. Sudden, but abrupt. Attacked, what do I mean by attacked? We've been attacked in our minds. We've been attacked in our souls. We've been attacked in our spirit. And it's now even affecting our bodies. In the sense that with all of this pandemic news and all of the crises, There's an element now, gosh, I hate to say this, it's adding insult to injury, but you would think we've gone through enough and the world has gone through enough. I don't know why we're thinking that. With the way things have gone, the real trouble's coming. And what's going to drive the trouble is what's starting to surface now. And we need to hear about this tonight. And we need to get the answer from God tonight regarding depression and sadness and sorrow and thoughts out of control and intense anxieties and pressures. We need to hear from God. Because listen, when you and I worry about things, we're assuming a responsibility upon ourselves that God never intended us to have. God is the one who says, cast all your care upon me and I'll care for you. The world is anxious tonight. And I said the other day that the next wave of the coronavirus is not going to be a temperature or vomiting or whatever. It's going to be depression. And we hear world experts talking about that very thing. But for the Christian, what do? When we have such a great God and live in such a messed up world. Emotional distress, the fear of the unknown, sadness over the loss of friends. Friendships have been broken. Listen, I was reading this from a CDC website on how to cope. Listen, people are having a difficult time not being able to relate to friends. It's desperate. You say, yeah, but the rules are, listen, man makes rules. God gives life. There's an issue here where people are beginning to become suicidal and desperately, desperately sad because they have no correlation with other friends, coworkers, the disruption of routine, the loss of income. Now that's hitting and it's going to hit more. Family tensions, marital issues. We're seeing that depression and suicide is setting in. And on the national hotline of suicide, it's at an all-time high right now of people calling in. That's why I've chosen tonight to give this message on the Holy Spirit in our lives. I read right now, I quote, depression is a widespread condition affecting millions of people, Christians and non-Christians alike. Those suffering from depression can experience intense feelings of sadness, anger, hopelessness, fatigue, and a variety of other symptoms. They may begin to feel useless and even suicidal, losing interest in things and people that they once enjoyed. Depression is often triggered by life circumstances, such as the loss of job, death of a loved one, divorce, psychological problems such as abuse, or an improper awareness of one's self-worth often leads to suicide. So I want to run through a few things tonight with the short time that we have together. And I want you to jot this down if you would. Regarding the Holy Spirit, Pastor Jack, and I'm a Christian and in my life, and yet I'm being tempted to kind of panic and all this kind of stuff. My company's not opening their doors yet. I haven't been able to go to church to get prayed for. I've been isolated, and I might even be losing my job. My company's going to collapse if we don't get back to work soon. And the end will be worse than the beginning. Number one, jot this down, my dear friend. And I'm speaking to the Christian tonight. Write this down. Point number one, me, my mind, and the Holy Spirit is the first consideration. Me, that is you, where you're at. You're the me, where you're at. I'm the me that's right here. Me, you, our minds, and the Holy Spirit. The news of today, the conversations of today, the social media of today, there are massive origins of stress and misinformation in our lives. Have you noticed that in the last week, when things have been getting better, instantly there's another wave of attack regarding the narrative? Ladies and gentlemen, church family, wake up. There are people that will not be satisfied with you getting better or the economy opening up or people going back to church and worshiping. They don't want that to happen. And they're angry about it. All over the world, in media and social media and in op-eds and in news reports, Bad news, always constantly bad news. And they're saying things, the narrative is painting a picture. Somebody could have a hiccup and now it's being reported. This could be another indicator of COVID-19, the Chinese Wuhan virus. It could be another indicator. People are out of control. What is driving them? Now, I'm not excusing all people. I think there are a handful of people that have a sick narrative and they love it. Those are weirdos. That's what I call them. That's the Hebrew word. I'm joking. Something's wrong with them. They're despisers of what's good. But God, listen, this doesn't rock the kingdom of heaven, this pandemic. Are you kidding me? This is nothing compared to flus that are out there. I've told you this on Sunday. This is nothing compared to the Hong Kong flu or the avian flu. This is nothing compared to the Spanish flu. But we're all charged up because why? We have been conditioned in our minds to think wrong. So I want to ask you a question. Think this. What calm and comfort has come to you from mainstream media? To your mind? I already hear the answer. Question. Have you been blessed and renewed by any one of your smart devices or apps? I don't think so. Have you ever, turned off the TV and said, I feel so much better having watched that program? No. Why? Because right now at this time, a lot of Christians are panicking. Why? Because they watch this. For every hour they watch the news, they probably read the Bible 1 minute. You ought to flip that narrative around in your own life. You ought to read the Bible for an hour and then turn on the news to see what the temperature is going to be tomorrow outside. But there's this bombardment upon our minds. Romans 12, verse 2 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed, by the renewing of your mind. This is how you beat this thing. Get into the Bible. I'm human. I get sick of all this stuff. And I'll get depressed and I'll get down. What do? Go to the Bible. I got to go to the Bible. I read it out loud. I get up in the morning. It's the first place I go. I read it out loud to myself that my mind can hear my voice reading the Word of God. Be transformed in the renewing of your mind. Why? That you may be able to prove what is good and acceptable in the perfect will of God. So Pastor Jack, how do I fight this? In my mind, how do I fight this onslaught and this coming of depression, sadness, and darkness that's creeping in with the news that's all about me? This is how. We're talking about thoughts. The mind is the area of thoughts. Write them down. They could save your life. Are you ready? Here we go. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Get control of your mind. Say to yourself, mind, I'm going to start taking control because I'm out of control. I am worrying. I am fretting. I'm biting my nails. My stomach's getting sick. I can't even function right. And so I'm going to gird up the loins of my mind. What does that mean? I'm going to tie a rope around my thoughts that are flapping out in the wind and leading me to nowhere. I'm going to cinch up that cord. I'm going to bring in these loose thoughts and I'm going to lasso them. And I'm going to get control. And I'm going to do it this way. Lord Jesus, give me the power. I know I'm praying right now. According to your will, give me your power to wrap these things up and to get control of my mind. I need the power of your Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man. See, your emotions and your mind is lying to you, isn't it? It's telling you that you're the only one that thinks and feels this way. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. That's a promise from God. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 again, verses 3 and 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. How do you do it? by bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. We determine now tonight, no matter how depressed we are, listen, no matter how depressed we are, we say right now, Lord, in Jesus' name, you might even want to say it where you're at. Lord, in Jesus' name, I give you my thoughts. I give you my actions of my mind, God. I present them to you. I need your help. I present myself as a living sacrifice to you, God. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Hebrews 13, 5 says, therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That's key. Become a worshiper and watch your mood, your attitude, and the area of your mind begin to change. Become a worshiper, a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. Oh, there's nothing to give God thanks for. Stop thinking like that now. Stop thinking like that now. Are you kidding me? If you drop dead today, are you going to go to heaven, Christian? That's good news. Well, I have a fever, or I'm sick, or I'm broke, or this or that. Listen, that simply means that God is going to take care of you. He's promised you, Christian. Look, if you're not a Christian, you should be freaking out. I get that. But I'm not talking to non-Christians. I'm talking to Christians right now. He has promised to take care of you all the way to heaven. Number two, me, my heart, and the Holy Spirit. My heart. So what do you mean by heart? Well, now I'm back to that immaterial part of man. What do you mean by heart? What do you mean by mind? You mean how smart I am? Nope, not interested in that. It's not what you know, friend, it's who you know. Do you know Jesus? It's not the mind. What about the heart? This is another immaterial part of man. I'm not talking about the muscle in your chest. That's just an apparatus to keep everything else going. That is just equipment to cause you to function with your immaterial self, your personality. You don't have a little thing over here. You know, you have got nothing right here by your appendix or your spleen or your liver. There's not a little thing, the little fatty piece of flesh that's your personality. No. Technically, it's not even in the areas of your brain. You have a personality. Listen up, everybody. Jesus Christ died for your sins, not your personality. But you have a heart. When we talk about the heart, we're talking about the deep-seated area of emotion. In fact, the human heart is the most complex component of all the facets of what and who we are. Immaterial in nature, yes, but listen, it's the seat of our intellect, the heart. It's the bulk of who we are. It's the seat of your intellect. It's the seat of emotion. It's the seat of what's called volition, your decision-making process. It's not your brain. That's an apparatus. It comes from the heart. Jesus said, as a man's heart is, so the man speaks. And I could add, as a man's heart is, and as he speaks, so he does. All of your actions, all of my actions comes from my heart, our hearts.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, in his message called The Holy Spirit in the Life of the Believer, Part 7. Thanks for being with us today. The Holy Spirit in the Life of the Believer, Part 7, is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Why Series, a series that brings to light the difficult questions in life as we look to God's Word for all the answers. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. Hey, you want some news that won't lie to you or stress you out? All you have to do is go to our website, jackhibbs.com, and check out the Real Life Media Ministry for radio and video programming. You can also access other resources from Pastor Jack's library. So stay informed and educated with the truth of God's Word at jackhibbs.com. We'd also like to encourage you to download the Real Life mobile app for on-the-go access to all that Pastor Jack has to offer. You can download the Real Life mobile app through the App Store or through our website. That's at jackhibbs.com. One more time, jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.